Morning. Today, Daf Samach Zayin in Avodah Zarah. We're behind. We're back on Samach Vav. We're on towards the bottom of the Amud. Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Wishful thinking. I wish we were towards the bottom of the Amud. We're not, but let's pretend we are, and we'll with that positive thinking, we'll keep going. Okay. We have a machlokas between Abaye and Rava in terms of what constitutes min b'mino versus min b'she'eino mino. Let's back up even a little bit further. We learned yesterday this concept about mixtures tarovis. Mishnah Torah just said if you have wine falling onto grapes, so if the grapes have a nice skin on them, so fine, that's not a big deal. So just wash it off and it's fine. But what if the grapes don't have a skin on them, and so they have cracks in them, and the wine penetrates into the cracks, so now the Mishnah says you have a problem. And the Mishnah gave us a basic rule, that is, that if it's been no same time, that if it gives off, if there's enough wine that goes into the grapes, and when I say wine over here, obviously we're talking about Yain Nesach, so when there's wine that goes into the grapes and it's enough to infuse a taste into the grapes, so then it's going to be Aser. That's the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is clearly talking about Nesinas Tam. The Mishnah is talking about where it imparts a taste. As I mentioned, although the Gemara never mentions this here, but elsewhere, the Gemara says when we talk about Nesinas Tam, we talk about imparting a taste. So really what we mean is Shishim, right? 1 to 60. 1 to 60 is the ratio where you assume that there's going to be an imparted taste. Anything more than that, greater than that, meaning if it's 1 to 61, 1 to 60, and even 1 to 60 as well, but it no longer imparts a taste. Okay? That number is... And over here, because we're talking about Yain Nesach, it's also going to be Aser B'Hana as well. Absolutely correct. Okay, so what I'd like to do, we're going to take just a little... We're going to go back just a little bit, and let's start with Abaye and Rava. Okay. So start from the top of the Amud. All right, again, wishful thinking, but let's get a clear picture of what's going on. Chamra Atika Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Chamra Atika Bin VeDivrei HaKol B'No Saint Tam. Old wine on grapes, they don't have the same taste. Everyone agrees, no same time, meaning they're the shears, Nesinas Tam. It has to give off, it has to impart flavor. Chamra Chalata Ba'anve, but what if it's new wine? Right? Well, we call grape juice, and grape juice goes into the grapes. So Abaye Amar B'Mashu Rava Amar B'No Saint Tam. So here's the machlokes Abaye and Rava. Now Rava says it's no Saint Tam. Abaye Amar B'Mashu Basa Taimaz Linan. Abaye says, look, you know what we're going to follow? We're going to follow Tam. We're going to follow taste. So according to Abaye, you have over here what's called min bimino. They are similar tastes. A min bimino b'mashu. And we know that the halacha is min bimino, that if I have a tarov, it's a mixture of similar tastes, the amount it takes in order to create iser is any amount. Mashu. Even the smallest amount is going to create iser. That is the opinion of Abaye. Rava Amar Beno Sintam, Basar Shmaz Linen. And Rava says, no, we're going to, if it goes after time, it goes after taste. Why? Because we follow the name, Vahai Shmalachud, Vahai Shmalachud. One is wine, and the other is grape. They're two different names. Bavle Min B'Sheinu Minu, Min B'Sheinu Minu, Beno Sintam. Okay, I mentioned this yesterday, I'll just review again today. Rava's difficult to understand. It is. Rava is just very difficult to process and understand, because what comes out from Rava is that the shear given is no Saint Tom. Meaning, when is it going to be also if it imparts a taste? And Rava says, and how am I going to qualify whether it's similar or dissimilar based on name? Okay? It's just difficult, because what does it mean based on name? If, in fact, it imparts a taste into it, so then the shear should be Nisina's tum. If it doesn't impart the taste, it has the same taste. Like wine, fresh wine, and new grapes. It's essentially the same taste. Right, when you eat a grape, you're basically eating the solid form of wine. So it is difficult, as I pointed out yesterday, to understand why Rava gives a designation of min bimino versus min b'she'eino mino based on name, not based on taste. Okay, but still, Tanan, let's go back to our Mishnah. Yain Nesach Shanafal Gabay Anavim. In the Mishnah, we talked about a case where Yain Nesach falls on grapes. Now, when we learn the Mishnah, you could say the Mishnah is talking about new wine, which means that in name it's dissimilar, but in taste it's similar. So my law b'no Saint Tom. So the Gemara says, now assuming that that's true, isn't the shear of the Mishnah no Saint Tom law b'mashu? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. The Mishnah could be talking about b'mashu. Now Hamid Diktani Sefer, the Gemara says, no, unreasonable. Because when the Mishnah finishes up its discussion, the Mishnah gives us a general rule. And the Mishnah's general rule is clearly going on the entire Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, if it imparts a taste, it's going to be also. And if it doesn't impart a taste, it's going to be mutter. Clearly the Mishnah is framed with Nisina's tam. So that's Mechlal de Benosin tam askinan. So, now what are you going to do? So Abaye is going to say very simply, Masnisa Mechamra Tika Be'inve. So Abaye will tell you, fine, I agree with you, the Mishnah is talking about Nosin tam. So, how Nosin tam is only a discussion when they're dissimilar tastes. So Abaye says, great, the Mishnah is talking about whether dissimilar tastes. Where the wine mentioned in our Mishnah is old wine, not new wine. Gemara is going to further go over this machlokus between Abaye and Rava. Chala de Chamra, v'chala de Shechra. Let's say I have different vinegars. Wine vinegar, beer vinegar, chamir de chita v'chamira de si'iri. Beer of
wheat leaven.
Right, I'm sorry, right. Leaven of wheat, leaven of barley. Abaye amar benosin tam. So Abaye says, look, everything follows taste. Basar tai maslinan. So again, consistency. Abaye says, I always follow the taste. If the taste is dissimilar, so then how much iser needs to go in? Enough to impart a taste. Rav Amar b'mashu basar shmazlin and v'hai chala mikre v'hai chala mikre v'hai chamir mikre v'hai chamir mikre. So, and Rava will also be consistent. Look, they may taste a little bit different than one another, but in name, it's the same name. So therefore, Rava says, over here, we're going to v'havale min b'mina v'chol min b'mina b'mashu. Fine. Amar Abaye. Okay, more of the same, more of this disagreement between Abaye and Rava. What is going to determine min b'mino versus what's going to determine min b'she'eno mino? Amar Abaye, mina amina la debasa tai maslina. Look, Abaye says, I'll show you clearly that we always follow taste. Yitanya. Look at the following. It's a braisa, it's a Mishnah in Arla. Tavlin beis v'gimel shemus. V'hein min echad o min gimel. Asurin u mitstarfin. Mishnah tells us that I have tavlin, I have spices. By two or three different names. But, v'hein min echad. O min gimel, or three different species. Asurin u mitstarfin. So, it's going to be asur. It'll be prohibited. And it will combine as well. Asurin u'mitztarfin. Rashi gives the example, right? Min echa could go in pilpul lavan, pilpul shachor, pilpul aruch, different types of peppers, white pepper, black pepper, long pepper, right? If they fall into a pot, Rashi goes on to say, imnathu l'kader v'lo b'zekede l'tava v'lo b'zekede l'tava v'nitztarfa v'tivlu, the hain shall iser, and assuming, of course, that these produce, these peppers are aser, for example, they could be arla, well, arla comes from the fruit, from the tree, it could be untithed, whatever the case is, they are mitzvah, the three of them combine, okay? Even though, in name, they're different. The Amr Chizkiah hacha b'mina mistika askin and hol beru l'masak b'hem asakadera. And then Chizkiah on the Mishnah says, yeah, you know why? Because they all sweeten the pot. Good. Good. So Abaye says, I'm right, aren't I? Because this Mishnah, what's the whole point? The point is that they all impart the same type of taste. And therefore we follow tam, we follow taste. But according to you, Rava, don't they have different names? And if they have different names, so therefore they should not be categorized the same. Therefore they shouldn't combine with one another. So how are you going to explain that? And Rava will say in his defense, look, you're right. They are different names. But I'll tell you that Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that all different types of Yisurim combined with one another. That Mishnah follows like Rabbi Meir. We generally don't follow Rabbi Meir. Fine. Leave that alone. More about this issue of taste. Chala lego chamer divra alcohol b'no saint tam. You have some vinegar. Vinegar falls into wine. So the halacha is benosim tam, according to everybody, nesinas tam. In other words, assuming that the vinegar is prohibited, and the prohibited vinegar falls into wine, wine and vinegar do not taste the same, even though vinegar at one point in its life was wine, doesn't matter, there's a similar taste. How much vinegar needs to fall into the wine? Nesinas tam. Enough so that it will impart a taste into the wine. Good. Chamal gochala. What about wine falling into vinegar? Abaye amar b'mashu, Rav amar b'menosin tam. So Abaye says, well, good, so it's going to be mashu. Any amount, and Rav says, no, nesinas tam, no, it has to impart a taste. How do you understand that? Abaye amar b'mashu, Abaye says, look, it's a mashu. Recha chala, v'tam achamra, chala. What if there's a difference between the way something smells versus the way it tastes? Now, generally speaking, right, I'm not going to put on my scientist hat because I'm not a scientist. But so I got no hat to put on. But generally speaking, something tastes based on its smell. Right? Generally speaking. We don't normally assume that it smells one way and tastes another. Right? Usually, right, if I ask you, how's the milk? The first thing you're going to do is you're going to smell the milk and you're going to tell me then it's not going to taste good. Well, how do you know? Smell it. Right? So usually taste and smell follow one another. The Gemara over here discusses a scenario in which you have something that smells that has vinegar. Vinegar has got a very strong smell. Right? Ever open up any vinegar and you'll know right away that's vinegar. It's got a very small, strong smell, but if you drink it, it goes down a little bit smoother than it smelled. Right? It goes down like wine. Okay? So it smells like vinegar, tastes like wine. I know, and it's hard to conceptualize because... Damn.
Like that.
Open,
open
it up and it doesn't smell right.
So okay. Into vinegar.
So wait 1 second. So if we have a scenario where you have something that smells like wine, smells like vinegar, but tastes like wine, so how are we going to categorize that? So chala, we'll categorize it like vinegar, meaning the smell is dominant. V'havale min bimino, and so therefore. Even though when you smell it, it smells like vinegar. Not even though. That's the wrong way to start off the sentence. Because it smells like vinegar, so therefore, categorically, it is vinegar. So vinegar being poured into vinegar, you know what that's called? That's called mimbimino. We know that when similar taste items get mixed together, it creates iser at any amount. Okay, and Rava disagrees. And Rava says, no, if the vinegar smells like vinegar, even though it may taste like wine, but still, the smell is going to be the dominant feature, and therefore it's going to be considered vinegar. And therefore, vinegar being poured into wine is going to be considered min b'sheino mino, and b'nosein tam, and the shear is going to be nesinas tam. Okay. So as I mentioned, it's Tarovis, it's all Tarovis all day today. So the big issue that we've covered so far is the question of min b'shei no mina. When I have dissimilar tastes, food coming one into the other. The basic outline so far this morning is like this. If I have a mixture, if what falls into my coffee now is something which is prohibited. If it is a dissimilar taste and it imparts flavor into the coffee, right? So you, simple example, you put a little flavoring into the coffee, and obviously the whole point of flavoring is to impart taste. So if I pour flavoring into the coffee, and it now has gone enough of it, has gone into the coffee now where I actually taste it, and I taste its flavor, so that is nesinas tam, and that's going to be aser. What if I pour coffee? What if I pour another type of coffee? I know coffee is always kosher. But what if I pour another type of coffee in here? So it has a similar taste, but that other coffee that I poured in is going to be aser. Right? Let's say Trumas and Maisers weren't taken off of it. Not a great example, but okay. Let's say another type of coffee goes in. That's min bimino, right? And min bimino is bimashahu. Any amount is going to make it aser. Okay, so far today. And then a sub-discussion that we had in terms of how do we categorize min bimino versus min b'she'ino mino. Is it based on taste? Is it based on name? And how do we factor smell into the whole equation as well? Okay? A little complicated, admittedly. Yeah, in other words, ein mevatlin iser lechatchila, you cannot create bittul. Absolutely correct.
But does mother have anything to do with it?
Huh?
If you can recognize it. If it's mixed, but you cannot
It could be another factor. Absolutely could be. Okay. Hi, Bastihi. All right. Now we're going to really focus on smell, on this idea of aroma. You have Bastihi. Rashi describes this as being a hole, right? Neck of Nokvim b'megufas chavis. Rashi writes it's a hole in a lid of a barrel, seal of a barrel. And what you do is very simple.
Smell.
Put your nose right up to the hole and smell it. How's the barrel of wine doing? And so you smell it. So now we're going to be talking about, for the next, for a good now 10 to 15 minutes, we're going to be talking about this issue of smell. A guy smelling a Jew's wine, that's fine. Okay? What does that mean? It's fine. It means he's not touching it, he's not moving it, not koach, nothing of the sort. He's just smelling it. You can let him smell it. The wine will not be affected by the smell. Tosa says we're not going to make any gzeir de rabbanon. Right, not a concern. Yisrael b'davi kochavim. What if a non-Jew comes over to you and says to you, you know, I need you to smell my wine. Now, of course it's yain esach, but okay, good. Doesn't matter. I need you to smell my wine. Could you smell my wine for me? So Abaye amar asa, Rava amar muta. So Abaye says, no, you can't. You're not allowed to smell the wine. And Rava says, you're allowed to smell the wine. Abaye amar asa recha milsehi. Abaye says, you can't because recha. Recha milsehi. Now, listen carefully. This is important. According to Abaye, what does that mean?
It goes in you.
It means that when you smell something, it's like you're drinking something. Right? So you smelling the Yai Nesach is tantamount. It's more than tantamount. It's consumption of the wine. And you know you're not allowed to consume the wine. Consequently, you're not allowed to smell the wine. Right? That is the opinion of Abaye. Very interesting position within Abaye, just conceptually to understand how smelling can be a form of drinking. But that's the opinion of Abaye. Therefore, he goes over to you and says, smell my wine. And it's the Ayin Esach. You can't smell it because you know you're not allowed to drink it. Sasa b'shtia, so you're not allowed to smell as well.
It's
the same thing.
Right? So is Abaye going to say that over here as well?
Yeah.
Maybe we can differentiate different levels of aroma. I'm not just suggesting that. Toso says we're going to do
it. Hold your nose when you...
Okay, I'll get to that. Rava amar muta rechalav milsehi. Then Rava says, no, it's okay because rechalav milsehi, recha is insignificant. So the idea that you smell it is tantamount to you consuming it, no. There is another discussion in the Gemara, which the Gemara doesn't have, but Rishonim have, and that is, how are you allowed to smell it altogether? If it's yayin esach, you're not allowed to drink it, and you're not allowed to get benefit from it. So how can you smell it? Aren't you benefiting from the wine? Okay, and fine. Put that away. We're not going to discuss that today.
A Hasidic lady in Muncie who worked for Sotheby, and she's a wine shopper, and she was given the permission to
smell it.
No, not to smell it.
Even taste it.
The mouth is good enough.
Okay, I can't. All right, fine. I'm not commenting. I'm a Rava Mina Amina La Derecha La Klumhu. How do I know this? How do I know that Recha is nothing? So how did not? Because look, I'll show you Mishnah. Tarnashi Sika Bekamon Shel Truma, because if I have an oven, and the oven was heated with Kamon Shel Truma. I don't know what Kamon is.
It's a spice.
So let's say it's cumin.
Indians.
Whatever it is. It's Truma. You're not allowed to eat truma. Non-Kohanim are not allowed to eat truma. It's prohibited. Like Misa B'Dei Shemayim, it's a serious prohibition to eat truma if you're not a Kohen. V'ava bo'as apas. And now, the oven was heated up with cumin, and so now the oven's got that nice smell to it. Right? That nice cumin smell. And then what you do is you bake bread in it. So now the bread was infused with the aroma of the cumin. Ha'pas muteros l'fisha'ina tam kamon. So the Mishnah says that the bread is okay because it's aroma. It's smell. And smell doesn't mean anything. So, Ella, Recha, come on. So, the only thing it has is Recha, all it has is aroma, and that's fine. So, Rava's got great support because the Mishnah very clearly indicates that smell is not a big deal. Abaye, Shani Hassan, Demikli, Sir. And Abaye says, look, I disagree. Because over there, it's an aroma that's not based. Meaning that the cumin, when you put it in the oven, it burnt up. So it's an aroma that doesn't have a basis to it. It's just an aroma. That, I agree with you, is nothing. That has no significance to it. But unlike the case in the wine, where the aroma, if you can conceptualize, it's like connected to the wine. It's like when the aroma is emanating from the wine and you're smelling the aroma, that's tantamount to drinking. So Bai says, I can clearly differentiate the case of the basti and the case of the oven aromatized, not a word, with cumin.
But cumin's not prohibited, right? Cumin's not a prohibited
Correct.
Substance.
On this issue, it's a huge issue. Just you should know. This issue of aroma obviously has a lot of practical ramifications. The Gemara Pesachim on Daf Ayin Vav discusses baking two things in an oven, right, where the aroma of one goes into the other. And the Gemara Pesachim discusses whether or not that's going to be prohibited and permitted. And Tosfos over here, and we're not going to go through it, just so you should know, and this is, you know, your homework for this evening, Tosfos over here gives a list of five different categories of different types of reyach. Meaning, based on the Gemara Avodah Zarah, based on our Gemara that we just learned based on our Gemara Avodah Zarah, based on the Gemara Pesachim, putting everything together, all the information together, so Tosfos comes up to five different levels of reyach, of aroma. Where, and the most extreme level, it's actually going to infuse. The aroma will infuse the taste of one thing into another, and in the most, in the lowest level, which actually we're going to see this morning, nothing. There's absolutely no transfer of any type of taste. Okay? So, see Tosfos for a very lengthy discussion about levels of aroma. Amar of Meri Kitanai, five lines from the bottom of the Amud. And Samach Vav Amud Beis, this is the Machlokas Tanai Marod, the Paschama, Vinasna, Pichavish, Shal Yain, Shal Truma, Rameiros, Rav Yehuda Matir. We have a Machlokas in the following scenario. I am making bread, it's hot bread, and I put it on top of a barrel of wine, the wine belongs to Truma. So now, here you have hot bread, and it's absorbing the aroma that's coming from the Truma. So Rameir says, you can't eat the bread. The bread now is infused with truma.
Yeah,
Rabbi and a kohen, right? You'd have to give it to correct. You'd have to give it to a kohen. Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Rabbi Yehuda says no. The bread's fine. And Rabbi Yossi comes to some sort of compromise position. Matir b'shal chitin v'oser b'shal sa'orim and mesha sa'orim shal avis. Rabbi Yossi believes that barley is more absorbent than wheat, and so therefore, if it's barley bread that's placed on top, so that absorbs the wine. Wheat bread does not absorb the wine. Okay, but if we can just for a moment look at the two extreme positions. My lav akim iflagi. The Gemara says, now we're going to say a very simple pshat in the Mishnah. And the pshat is, mar savarecha milsa, mar savarecha velo klumu. Very simple. Debate is, what is the status of aroma? Is aroma significant? Is aroma insignificant? So, l'rava vade tanahi. Look, from Rava's standpoint, you're right. Correct. Point well taken. Rava will tell you that my position, that recha lav milsa, that aroma is nothing. You're absolutely correct. My position correlates with the position of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Meir disagrees with me in my position. Okay? Rava can't argue with the Tana. He's not. He's siding with Rabbi Yehuda. That's fine. La Abaye mile matanahi. But Abaye will say like this. Look, I'm not bothered by that Mishnah at all. I'm not affected by the Mishnah at all. Because remember, what did Reish Lakish say about that Mishnah? Here you see Reish Lakish already talking about gradations of aroma. Right, that idea that I introduced you to in Tosfos a couple of minutes ago. You see it straight in the Gemara. If the bread is hot and the barrel is open, everybody agrees there was an infusion of the aroma creates an infusion of taste. The pastor knows the chav is magufa divra kol mutaris. And look, if the bread is cold and the barrel is closed, everybody agrees okay. That there's nothing. There's no transversion of aroma. Even though you put your nose right up to the barrel, you may sniff a little bit of the wine, but that's not going to create any type of infusion of taste. Lo nechol gu'ala b'pas chama v'chav is magufa v'pastor nenez v'chav is psucha. And look, and the debate in that Mishnah regarding bread on top of the barrel of wine, that's talking either where the bread is hot and the barrel is closed, or the bread is cold but the barrel is open. And I'm telling you that when you smell the wine, it's really the same. In other words, it is as if the bread is hot and the barrel is open. Meaning that when I'm telling you is that there's no debate. Everyone agrees that there's enough concentration of aroma so that by you smelling the wine, it's tantamount to you drinking it. Okay. It's still interesting. And again, just to see if we can really understand, you know, all the dynamics over here. Really, Abaye is still saying a tremendous chiddush. Meaning, aside from the fact that he holds Recha Milsa, that Recha is significant, we've been discussing it in terms of transfer of taste. Meaning that a hot piece of bread over an open barrel of wine, he's telling you that the wine, the taste of the wine, through the aroma, is going into the bread. But he's actually going one step even further than that. He's telling you that when you put your nose over the wine and you're smelling the wine, it's like you're drinking the wine. That is one more chiddush above than just simply a transfer of taste. Transfer of taste means, you know, in other words, now that I'm eating the bread, yeah, I taste the wine. But when I sniff it, I'm drinking it. That's even a bigger chiddush, but that's where Abaye takes the discussion of aroma. Okay, so again, so not finishing up, just introducing you to the concept of Recha Milsa. So it's a machlokas amorayim, whether or not Recha Milsa, whether aroma is significant. Abaye says aroma is significant. Rava says aroma is insignificant. A Mishnah that was quoted, Abaye and Rava dealing with how you're going to deal with that Mishnah. Rava says, look, you're right, I'm going to tell you it's a machlokas. Abaye says, no, we could talk about gradations, levels of aroma. And I feel that smelling the wine is the highest level of aroma. And even all those Tanaim in the Mishnah would agree with me. And that is an introduction to the concept of Recha Milsa. Okay, good. Let's move along. Another big topic for today. Yes.
How do we know that we walk through a mall or wherever?
So we hold Recha Lav Milsahi. However, there is a discussion in the Halacha, which, not for now, about, right, Machlokas Abaye Rava, the Halacha is always going to fall like Rava, with exceptions. Here, the Halacha is like Rava. But there is a discussion about cooking something in a hot oven, in a hot contained oven. So there is a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch, based on a comment by the Rif, that shouldn't do it. But, practically speaking, though, Recha Lav Milsa. That's the...
Even at the same time, you shouldn't do it.
At the same time, you should not do it. But again, that's a halachic discussion. And right now, this is just an introduction to the big topics. These are big topics. Okay. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, Hachi Hilchasa. Sorry. First we quote the Mishnah. Ze'akal kosher ba'anasa b'no sein tam. Okay? The Mishnah says, I'll give you a rule, and it's a simple rule, if there are dissimilar objects that got mixed together, so how much needs to go in? Nisinas tam. Okay. I'm Rav Yehuda Meshmul Hachi Hilchasa. That's the halacha. I'm Rav Yehuda Meshmul. Oh, and by the way, I'm sorry. When he says Hachi Hilchasa, I'm sorry. It's going not on the shear of Nesinas Tam. It's going on the issue of No Saint Tam of Gum. Remember the last thing we mentioned back in the Mishnah. The Mishnah back on Samech Hamed Bey says, what if you have vinegar fall into split peas? Yuck. Okay? Again, your own personal culinary interests do not play a factor over here. It's just not. It's not. It doesn't. It's not tasting. It's not pleasing. Vinegar into split peas is not good. It's not. It does not enhance the food. In fact, makes it worse. And so that's what's called nosing tam lefgam. That the Mishnah says is acceptable, meaning you can eat the split peas even though now it has iser. But the Isser did not provide a better flavor, but rather a detrimental flavor. Right? And now, let's say this. Amar Rav Yehuda Meshmul, Hachi Hilchasa, that's the halacha. The Amar Rav Yehuda Meshmul, Lo Shana Velo Shana Aflo Soch, Grisim Rosechin. That's true, but only if it fell into Grisim Rosechin, hot split pea. Aval Naflo Soch, Grisim Sonin, and Vir Sicham, Nasa Kemishe, Hishbich Lefso, Pagam Va'asar. What if the vinegar falls into split pea that is not hot? Right?
And then he cooks it.
Right, and then he cooks it. All right. So again, I'm just going to tell you what the fundamental assumption of the Gemara is, just so we understand the Gemara. Vinegar on cold split pea, that's good. It's almost like a salad, if you want. Right? Salad, you'll put oil and vinegar.
So it's benefiting.
So it's benefiting the split pea. So on cold split pea, that's fine. It's only when the split pea is hot and you put vinegar on it, then it's not good, it's detrimental. You may disagree, but these are the fundamental assumptions going into the Gemara. So the Gemara deals with the following scenario. Let's say you pour vinegar onto the split pea while it's cold, and then you heat it up. Can we say no St. Tom of Gam? No. Because since when the original mixture occurs, when you had the introduction of the vinegar into the split pea, it improved it, therefore it's going to be asar. Even though consequently it may ruin it. And the Gemara says that this is in fact the halacha, the chenki asar. Rabban Amar, Rabban Barachan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan Shana Ola Shanafal, Soch Gris and Rosh Chin Aval Nafal, Soch Gris and Sarnam Virasichan Asar Kamisha Yishbiach, Ola Soch Pagam Vasar. Okay? The Gemara quotes it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan as well, that this is in fact the halacha. The chenki asar abdimi, the chulei, the kacha yosin barav, the shabbosu spitzi pari. In fact, up in north in Sipari, town right next to Tveria, they would do this. On Erev Shabbos, they would mix vinegar with split pea, v'kar naso shechlayim, and this is the famous shechlayim. Famous to nobody. Now I have. Okay. Amar Reish Lakish. No sin tam of gansha amru. Okay? We are now in this topic of no sin tam of gam. No sin tam of gam, the concept is that if I have a tarof, it's a mixture of two foods, but and one of the foods is asr, but that asr food doesn't enhance the flavor of the food it's being mixed into, but is detrimental, takes away from its quality, so then it's mutter. Okay? It's a strange concept. Meaning you are, in the case of vinegar, right? Prohibited vinegar was being poured onto the beans, onto the peas. And the Mishnah says, look, it didn't enhance it, made it worse, no St. Talm of Gam. Okay? And the idea behind it, what's the idea behind no St. Talm of Gam? It's a pretty straightforward idea. Meaning that when the Torah says you're not allowed to eat forbidden foods, it means the Torah is telling us, I'm not allowed to benefit from forbidden foods. I understand, benefit comes in the form of eating. If when I'm eating, I'm thinking to myself, oh, that's not good. So if I'm eating it, but I'm not benefiting from it, so that's no St. Tom of Gam, and therefore it's going to be acceptable.
But why would you keep eating it if you're not benefiting?
It doesn't make it inedible. I'm going to show you Rashi says that a little bit later on. Okay. It doesn't make it inedible, it just diminishes from its quality. So therefore the vinegar that I poured in didn't do anything. Not only didn't do anything, took away from the quality, that's fine.
The thing is, in terms of benefit, you mean like pleasure of tasting. But you get the benefit of nutrition anyway.
Correct. You do get some, right. There's something to be said about eating food. It does keep you alive. In that regard, that's true. I'm Reish Lakish. Now, here, Reish Lakish is going to be quoted twice. There are two versions of Reish Lakish. The first version is a Chumra, the second version is a Kula. First, I'll say it outside, I'll outline it outside, and then we'll go over it inside. This idea of no St. Tom of Gam. Let's imagine I'm cooking a dish, and right now the dish is perfect. It's complete. Meaning I put enough salt in, I put enough pepper in, right? I put everything I needed to put in right now, and then I add the forbidden food. I add Isser. And it happens to be that the Isser that I added has now taken away from its quality. No St. Tom of Gam. You go to your local rabbi, he'll say, no St. Tom of Gam. You can go ahead and eat it. And then, of course, you won't because I just poured in something which is prohibited. I can't. But the halacha is that it is acceptable. It's totally acceptable. No St. Tom of Gam. What if you didn't finish making the food? It's missing some salt. It's missing some pepper. And so, even though you've added forbidden food, which does diminish, but the food itself is an incomplete entity. There's still more that you need to do to cook it, to spice it. What then do we say? Do we say, look, no St. Tom of Gam, right? Even though part of its lack of quality is based on the fact that you didn't finish cooking it. So there are two versions of Reish Lakish. I'm Reish Lakish. No St. Tom of Gam Sha'amru. Lo Shiyomru Kedera Zu Chasera Melech Yisera Melech Chasera Tavlin Yisera Tavlin Ela Kol She'ein Chasera Klum Ve'ina Ne'achelas Mipnei Zeh. The first version comes out like this. The soup is perfect. Perfect. Not too much salt, not too little salt. Not too much pepper, not too little pepper. It's perfect. But now, along comes this esser, gets poured in, and now you're like, oh, that's terrible. Now, As I mentioned, I promised the Rashi, I'm going to deliver, I hope. Right, the Gemara says, Eino ne'achelos mipnezeh. And you wouldn't eat it now that you introduce this esser. Right? So according to the first version of Reish Lakish, this is what's called Nosin Tam of Gam. Only because I added this isser, and this isser made the food inedible, that is the only circumstance where we're going to say Nosin Tam of Gam, and we're going to say it is acceptable. Rashi writes, Kol She'enam Chasera. It is above. It's closer to the top than it is to the bottom. The first word in the line in Rashi is Levgam Shemot, and then the Divra Amaskal Kol Sheinu Chasera Shum Tikam Veinu Nechals Mimnezek Klamar. The Isser's that Pogim Tama, the Isser actually diminishes its taste. The Veinu Nechals Labdafka. When the Gemara says Veinu Nechals, it doesn't mean we wouldn't eat it. The Kevin the Begim Asaporta Karele Veinu Nechals. Just a small diminishment of its quality is enough to say. The Gemara over here doesn't necessarily mean I wouldn't eat it. The Gemara just simply means not good. Not good. Now, that's the first version of Reish Lakish. That's a Chumrah, as Rashi explains, because that comes out now that I'm only going to use this concept, this idea of Nosin Tam of Gam, is that without the Isser, the dish is perfect. The dish is great. And then adding a little bit of vinegar, and the vinegar was prohibited, and now it's like, I'm not ready to serve this. I don't want to serve this. Iga de Amri, Amar Reish Lakish. Now the second version of Reish Lakish comes out like this. Notice in Tom of Gansh Amri, Nomer Im Kederza, Chaser Mel, Chaser Mel, Chaser Tavni, Chaser Tavlan, Elahashta Mi Ahapagma. Look, it could be that I already added too much salt, so it's already not the best. Could be that there's not enough salt. Okay? Doesn't matter. If when I added the vinegar, I diminished its quality, no Saint Tom of Gam, and we're going to say it's mutter. According to the second version, it doesn't have to be a complete dish. It doesn't have to be a perfect dish. It has to be just simply that freeze frame the moment. When I added the isser, did it diminish in quality? Yeah? It's fine. No Saint Tom of Gam is mutter. Okay. Last big topic of the day. Okay. How many big topics can we cover in one day? These are all just by way of introduction. Right? This is a hello, how are you? This is not, unfortunately, just because of time consideration, we're not really getting into any of these in any type of detail. Okay? Min b'mino versus min b'sheino mino, we talked about this morning. A question of how to identify what is similar versus what's dissimilar. Based on taste, based on name, machlok is abaye and rava. The second big issue of the day is recha milsa, aroma. Is aroma significant? Is aroma insignificant? Again, machlok is abaye and rava. The issue of no Saint Tam Levgam, whether when I add a food and it takes away from the quality of the food that I'm adding it into, is it going to be mutter? Is it going to be asr? The halach is it's going to be mutter. No Saint Tam Levgam is mutter. And two statements of Reish Lakish. Two versions of Reish Lakish, to what degree I'm going to apply this rule. And finally for this morning, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, bottom of Samach Zayin Amar Aleph, Kol Shetamo Umamasho Aser, V'lokin Alav, V'zeu Kedayis Bechtei Achilas Pras. Let's start off with the most basic. If I have Tamo Umamasho, taste and substance, I have a non-kosher piece of food, non-kosher meat, sitting right in front of me, and I eat it, and the substance is there. Or let's say, not just the food itself, let's get substance means the substance of the food. You'll see. You'll see. It'll be clearer as we go to the contrast. Not just if the food is here by itself. Let's say the food gets mixed up with other foods. Okay? So I make a salad, in a salad, so I add some of the non-kosher meat into the salad. But I'm eating little pieces of meat. So not only do I taste the meat, but the mamashos, the substance of the meat, is in the salad. So now I'm eating salad, I'm eating meat. As long as I eat a kezayis bechdei achilas pras, so it is biblically prohibited, it's asur, and you're going to get malchus, and also you get lashes. Lashes just simply is the Gemara's way of saying It is biblically forbidden, right? Of course, there is due process in order to get lashes, but the basic point of the Gemara is that you violated an Issur D'Oraisa by eating it. Even though you ate it together with other foods, as long as you ate enough. Kedei Achilas Pras is a length of time. It's a shear. How long does it take to eat generally a pras? Pras is half of a loaf of bread. Rashi tells us that it's the quantity of four, the volume of four eggs. Typical your modern poskim will say that it ranges somewhere between 4 to 9 minutes. Kedei Achilas Pras. Okay, as long as you eat a kezias, an olive volume amount of the iser, even though it got mixed up with other things in that year of kedei achilas pras, it's an iser daraisa, it's usher, and you're going to get malchus. How about tamo veloma masho? What if the iser is there, but the substance is no longer there? Okay? First I'll read the Gemara, and then I'll read Rashi. And then we will point out the difficulty within Rashi. So, tamo veloma masho, we're on the top now of Samach, Samach Zainam at base. Aser ve'in lokin alav. So that's prohibited, and you're not going to get, but you're not going to get malchus. Okay, ve'im riba tam levgam mutter. However, if the quality has diminished, so now we're onto the concept of nosin tam levgam, and it's going to be mutter. And the Gemara points out, and the way that it was formulated over here tells us that the second version of Reish Lakish is in fact correct. Meaning that even though the dish itself is not complete, in other words, it may be missing something, it may be having too much of something, doesn't matter. If the food actually, if the Isser food diminishes the quality of that which it gets mixed into right here and right now, so then it's going to be mutter, like the second version of Reish Lakish. Let's spend a little bit of time this morning talking about this concept of tama v'loma masho. You taste it, but loma masho, but the food itself is not there. The substance is not there. Just the taste is there. Look at the top Rashi on the page. Rashi gives two examples of what this means, tama v'loma masho. Kegon, chalav shenafal kedera, milk that goes into a pot. Every single time you see the word kedera, it means stew, like a meat pot. So the milk goes into the meat pot. Oh, Rashi's second example. This is confusing. It doesn't here. It's not chalav. Chalav shenafal nimuach she'in mamasha be'en. Rashi's second example is forbidden fats. Every animal has what's called chalav, the forbidden fats. That's not the fat that is together with the muscle, right? That fat is delicious and not forbidden. And probably not good for you. Okay. You're not going to forget that. I know it. I know it. I take it back. If I could, I'd go back and erase. Chalev is the forbidden fats in an animal. Alongside, when we get to chulin, we're going to discuss this in detail, learn a little bit of anatomy. Along the organs of the animal, there are these hard, very rigid fats. And those are called chalev. The Torah says that when you offer the animals a carbon, those fats go up onto the mizbeach. And this is called chalev. A Jew is not allowed to eat a chalev. The animal is shechted properly. The meat is fine. The chalev is going to be prohibited. So, Rashi's second example is that you melt some chalev into a dish. Okay. Now, the second example of Rashi is perfect. It's such a good example. Meaning that what happens now is that obviously fat has a wonderful taste to it. You take the fat and you melt it into a dish. So now the fat, is the substance of the fat there? No. But when I taste the dish, am I tasting the fat? Absolutely. This is what's called ta'amo v'lo mamasho. And what the Gemara says is, ain lokin alav, you don't get malchus for this. Right? In other words, the Torah, to violate the prohibition in the Torah, you have to eat the food. It's not enough just to taste the food. There has to be a consumption of the actual food itself. Right? That's tamo uma marshal. So Rashi's second example is great. The fat now is dissipated into the pot. I don't see it inside. If you ask me, can you go get it? No, it's melted. I guess when it cools down, maybe there might be some coagulation of the fat, but just generally speaking, it's not there anymore. That's tamo veloma marshal. And you can't do that. You can't eat it. This is a concept called tam ki'ikar. Rashi's first example, however, is fascinating. Rashi's first example is a little bit of milk goes into meat. Now, conceptually, I understand why Rashi says that. Right? Rashi says that because where's the milk? It's not there anymore. In other words, the meat's got a wonderful milky taste to it, but the milk is not there anymore. So Rashi says this is another example of tamo veloma masho. And consequently, that would mean that when you eat it, it's forbidden, it's absolutely usher to eat, but this is not malchus. This is not an isser daraisa. This is just tam ki'ikar, that we treat the taste as if the food is actually there. Okay, that is Rashi's two examples over here. First example is strange. What is Rashi's first example? Basar b'chalav, meat and milk. Meaning, it comes out that according to Rashi, when I have a pot of meat, and I pour a little bit of milk in, enough to give it taste. So I've cooked milk in meat, and according to Rashi, that's not an Isser D'Oraisa.
The principle of 1:1 to 1:60 doesn't apply here. If the amount of milk you are adding is less than 1:60, then that doesn't...
Let's assume that you put enough milk in so that the taste has been imparted.
You're supposed to be cooking meat in the milk versus the milk.
I'm saying, right, according to Rashi, it's a little bit strange, more than just a little bit. It's a little bit strange. It's difficult to understand because he's touching on the case of cooking milk and meat. And Rashi says, this is tamo velo mamasho. This is taste, but not mamashos. So
I understand what the substance is not there. If you put milk, the milk is there. It's not like aroma or what is the substance then? What is the substance?
Substance means that there's an actual object that I can point to and identify and say, there it is. Right? In other words, I'll modify your statement. A lot of mixtures, you can't say that. In my salad example, right? When I take some meat and I put it in the salad, right? So it's a mixture, but I can still identify the pieces of meat, right? If in a cholent, right, I put non-kosher pieces of meat and it cooked there, it's tamo mamasho. I taste the meat and the pieces of meat are still there as well. Here, where when the isser goes in, it dissipates and it spreads out throughout the whole pot, that's tamo velo mamasho. I taste it, I just can't see it, I can't identify it. So, you're right, by the way, I don't know where that fine line is, meaning when I pour milk into my coffee. Right? That's tamo uma. I could see the milk because I see the coffee get discolored because of the milk. Right. You're right. There definitely is some point.
You don't see the milk, you see a mixture of milk.
Right.
Milk.
So, okay. I'm not 100% sure where the point is where you lose the mamashos, but there is definitely that point. So I'm just pointing out right now that Rashi's first example of meat and milk, it's fascinating and controversial. The big Tosfos on the bottom of the previous page, on Samach Zayin Amar Aleph, Tosfos, Amar Rav Yochanan, gets through a long discussion about this first example of Rashi, of him using meat and milk as a principal example of tam ki'ikar, right? Where I taste it, but I don't actually see it. It's difficult to process how Rashi uses that as his example. Okay, very good. All right, so it's not fair because it was just an introduction. Today we covered min bimino, taste versus name, what identifies dissimilar tastes, recha milsa, right, whether aroma is substantial or not, no same tam lefgam, and finally the last thing we talked about today is the issue of tam ki'ikar. Taste being significant or not. Taste is significant, right? Is taste without the substance an Issa D'Oraisa or simply an Issa D'Rabbanan? Seems from the Gemara it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. Okay, stop over here. We'll continue tomorrow.